Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim al kamil majid wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim al kamil majid rabbi shrah li sadri yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna 'ilma ya rabbal alamin a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim فأخرج لهم عجلا جسدا له خوار فقالوا هذا إلهكم وإله موسى فنسي أفلا يرون ألا يرجع إليهم قولا ولا يملك لهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولقد قال لهم هارون من قبل يا قوم إنما فتنتم به وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ فَاتَّبِعُونِي وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي قَالُوا لَن نَّبْرَحَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْنَا مُوسَى قَالَ يَا هَارُونُ مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ ضَلُّوا أَلَّا تَتَّبِعَنِ أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي قَالَ يَا ابْنَ أُمَّ لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل ولم ترق بقولي قال فما خطبك يا سامري
صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري يسر أمني واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى they gave us the tawfiq to continue these sessions on the tafsir of Surah Taha. Last week we took a little break because of the Halal and Haram program, on Saturday and Sunday, and I hope everyone benefited from that, inshallah ta'ala. And we increased the concern for this throughout our area and throughout Massachusetts and New England in general, inshallah. So we will continue from where we left off, and it's very interesting. It's really the conclusion of Musa alayhi salam's story in Surah Taha, and so it's one of the most interesting parts. If you guys remember from last time. I just want to give a brief summary of what happened, inshallah, and then we'll dive right into it. So Musa alayhi salam had an appointed time to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This appointment with Allah was at a certain time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to meet him. Musa alayhi salam came early, and we spoke about this, that for us, again, doing any type of nafl act, you know, or coming early for salah, that's completely fine. But we cannot do a fard before its time, right? So we cannot do dhuhr before dhuhr time. We cannot do asr before asr time. And every single command to a Nabi is fard. And so if he were to do it earlier than he was supposed to, within the appointed time, that would be considered wrong for him. So when Musa alayhi salam came early, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa, "O Musa, what rushed you so fast? What hastened you to come?" And we all know that Musa alayhi salam said that, "They're all fine. They're just right there, Ya Allah. They're all okay." And Allah ta'ala says, "But we have tested them. Right after you left, we have tested them." And the Samiri, which we'll talk about today, translated as conversationalist, a guy who can talk a lot, right? The Samiri misguided them. So Musa alayhi salam returns super angry and super depressed, like we talked about. He was so saddened because he felt so bad, because he felt like he was the cause of it. And secondly, he was sad because his people disbelieved in Allah and made shirk. And so he was so saddened because of it. And then when he goes and asks them, he reminds them what Allah Ta'ala gave them and all these things. And the people said, "Musa, we didn't do it because we had any control. We were just out of our control. We just had all this jewelry, this sinful jewelry that we had from Fir'aun's people, and we wanted to get rid of it." And so Harun alayhi salam told us, and it's mentioned in the narrations, Harun alayhi salam told us, he said, "I'll light a fire, we'll all throw the stuff in there." And so he lit the fire, and they were going to throw the jewelry in there. And while they were throwing the jewelry, Samiri comes out of nowhere, and he throws something else as well. We'll talk about what he threw today, inshallah. But he threw as well, and as soon as he threw, it transformed the gold and the silver into something completely different. It turned into a golden calf. It turned into an entire idol. And then Samiri told everyone, "Hey guys, look at the idol. It's the same idol we used to worship." And so then everyone was misguided, and at that moment they started to disbelieve in Allah, or do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And I already mentioned before, the last thing we just want to mention before we jump right in, is that in the Old Testament, we talked about it, that it wasn't Samiri who made the idol. Does anyone remember who it was? They said it was Aaron, right? Harun alayhi salam. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. So Allah Ta'ala corrects them. This is something you'll notice throughout the Quran. When Allah Ta'ala mentions a story, he's correcting something that the people in the past got wrong. So they definitely got this one wrong. Right, this is, unfortunately, the ummahs before us, and this is what I want you all to understand. When we talk to Jews and Christians, a lot of times we think that they're thinking the same thing as us. Right, when we say God, for example, or we talk about Allah, they're not thinking what you and I are thinking of. We're thinking Allah Ta'ala doesn't have a form, you know, like human, like makhluk. He's not a creation. When you say God in front of them, when you say in front of a Christian, what is he thinking of? Isa alayhi salam, right? When you talk about prophets in front of them, they're not thinking about prophets that you and I think of, noble, you know, basically angelic human beings, like such amazing human beings, never committed a sin. They're thinking about people who made mistakes, did shirk, did all these haram things. Right? So when you talk about things like that, just understand you're not talking from the same lens, not from the same perspective at all. Keep that in mind. So now we've seen how the Quran will protect its prophets over and over and over again, and we'll see it again how Allah Ta'ala describes what Harun alayhi salam actually did. They said that Harun alayhi salam went and made the idols for them. You'll see today what Harun alayhi salam actually said. So now we have to understand that the test will not stop. If the Prophet is there or not there, the test of Allah Ta'ala will continue. And this is what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting instruction of. He's learning this. From the story of Musa alayhi salam, he's learning that if I'm here or not here, my ummah will continue to be tested. So they need to be ready. When I go, they all need to be ready. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is learning a lot of things. While we're going through this, we're going to learn too. But we have to understand, if the shepherd leaves, don't expect the sheep to be fine. Shaitan is waiting for that moment when the shepherd is gone. And so the Samiri found this opportunity when Musa alayhi salam left. And so he told them, فَأَخْرَجَ لَهُمْ عِجَلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَالٌ. We'll continue now. فَقَالُوا هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. So he took out for them an ijl. He took out for them a calf. It had a body which it started to make a lowing sound, a mooing sound. And I told you that it was the sound of the cow. It started making a normal sound. And قَالُوا, it's not he said, it is they said. Who's the they here? What happened is this, that there are many people in Musa alayhi's own ummah that didn't like Musa alayhi. There are people in his own ummah that were already on the fence. They went out from Fir'aun because he's Bani Israel, we're Bani Israel. So we're from the same race. So we better rather follow him than Fir'aun, right? And so when they got to leave, they were waiting for an opportunity to get back at Musa. And so finally when Samiri does this, they start to shout to everyone, قَالُوا هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. This is your Lord and the Lord of Musa. But Musa forgot. Because in Egypt, we used to worship calves. We used to worship cows. They used to worship living cows. And now look, we have something even better now. Why is it better? Because before we had a cow that was made out of flesh and blood. I mean, that's okay. But this one's made out of what? Gold and silver, subhanAllah. You know, like they're like, this is prime time cow. You know? You put the thing on, it's A class, mashallah. And so they go and say, this calf was made out of gold and silver. It also moves like a cow. And we spoke about last time, it's possible that it just the way Samiri made it, that it made a sound that sounded like, it's possible. But another interpretation is because of what Samiri threw. We'll talk about it later, it's coming up. What Samiri threw actually transformed the gold and silver into a real cow. And so they were amazed because they saw him bring it to life. It's definitely a possibility with it. But you can see how upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, or how angry Allah ta'ala is, because it didn't take them that much to become misguided again. And this is what happens when you come from shirk lands, places of shirk. We're all from these areas. Our Desi community is basically full of it. We've come from Hindu areas, let's be honest, right? And so all their culture just applies on us. Why do our marriages look like this? It's not a Muslim thing at all, really, it's not. Why do our funerals look like that? Why do we do like, we throw roses on graves? Is that a Muslim? These are not from Islam, right? But just because we saw these things in our areas and lands and communities, we just kind of did them again. You're like, oh yeah, what's the big deal? Right? We have even our ceremonies, right? the ta'zi after 3 days and 7 days and 40 days. Where did these things come from? And I'm not here to disrespect anyone, right? But just to make everyone understand, what we come from these areas and they have a big impact on us. Right, I'll give you just as a humorous point. If your son or daughter were to come to you and say, "Dad or Mom, I'm ready to get married, and I found this person. They're from a different race. Like, if you're Pakistani, they're like, is Bangladeshi. Mm-mm. No, no, no. Is Bangladeshi Pakistani? No, 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 no. Haram, haram, habibi. No, no. You know, this is what happens because we're so. This is who we are, and so we're stuck in this way." And it's not to say, look, there's a right part of it and a wrong part of it. And that's why we go to scholars and ulama, we can talk about these things. But don't be so rigid. If it's your culture, it's your culture. It's not part of deen. It's two different things. Let's not conflate the two. Let's not conflate the two. And you're seeing this in Bani Israel. Their culture was shirk. And immediately, as soon as they saw an idol, sujood again. It just immediately happens. Okay? So the life of shirk follows them. This is what they were used to doing. And they like that, you know, you can have a Lord that you can see. They actually asked Musa alayhi salam, right? When they came across a community that they're worshipping idols, they said, "Hey Musa, can you make us a god like their god? We want a god like this. You know, can we have an idol too?" And Musa alayhi salam called them idiots. He said, "Tajhalun, you guys are jahil." You know, he said, "What are you guys thinking?" Obviously, because why? Because a person of shirk, they love that they have an idol that you can visualize and see. And when you stand in front of it, right, you're like, you can see it in front of you. Right? But what is the problem with an idol? Is that it's only in that one place. If I were to take away that idol, or you were to go away from the idol, in order for you to go and ask the idol again, you have to go to that place again. And let me ask a Muslim though. Do you have to be in front of anywhere to make dua to Allah? No. You can be anywhere, any place, any time, and you can still make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea of shirk is so limited, so mahdood, it's so fixed. But the idea of tawheed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you can worship Allah wherever you are. You don't even need a masjid to worship Allah. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah is what? That the entire world is a masjid for you. If you didn't have wudu, what could you make? Tayammum. You have the entire world to make yourself pure. You can always worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a blessed ummah. This is what tawheed is. So this idea of shirk, who made the idol, by the way? People made the idol. Human beings made the idol. If you get rid of the followers, the religion will die. If you get rid of the followers, the religion will die. But this is the reality about Islam. Every single country that they try to stamp it, they try to stomp it out in the areas of Russia, in the areas of Central Asia, in any place that they try to destroy Islam, people just kept believing again. You know, there are places in Central Asia, just to give you a side point, about kids who would come out as huffaz, and their story is remarkable. What is their story? They said that we weren't allowed to recite Quran, even have a Quran in our possession, or else our families would be imprisoned and abused. So what did they used to do? They made an area in a bar, and they would create a fake wall, and they would soundproof what was behind the wall. And what would they do is they would put a teacher in there, and they would put students in there, and they would supply them with 6 months of provisions. Okay, this is a true story. And so the bar on the outside looks like liquor and all these things, but inside it is like what? A hifz khana. It's a place for memorizing Quran. And so kids would be memorizing Quran for 6 months, come out as hafiz of the Quran, and no one would even know. The beauty of Islam is that you cannot kill it, because it doesn't rely on us. Islam doesn't run on us really, it relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty of deen. It doesn't require any symbols and structures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates it so much, He gave an entire ayah. أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. Don't they see that it doesn't even respond to them? They talk to the cow, they go, "Assalamu alaikum, oh Hazrat cow, my ilah cow," and what does it go? It doesn't even talk to them, it doesn't respond to them, it doesn't say anything to them. Whereas, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the entire book. He's like, "You want to know what I said? Here you go. This is the Quran." We can do that. Other religions cannot do that. Other religions like Christians and Jews cannot say this is God's word. This is the word of human beings. This is what they wrote down. But you and I as Muslims can say, "You want to know what my Lord says? Here's the Quran, you can read it." Okay? Allah says, it doesn't return a word to them. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. It doesn't give them any harm or benefit. Any harm or benefit. This this type of shirk, Allah Ta'ala, He gave an entire ayah for this. He gave an entire ayah of His Qur'an to say that, look, whatever you and I have in this world, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And the benefit and harm that I have is only dependent on circumstance. Only dependent on circumstance. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that the money that I have, people are so in love with mal and wealth and money and everything. And of course, money is great. I love to have money too, mashallah. I'm not denying it. Alhamdulillah, the green, it's good stuff. Right? But the thing is that it only benefits if Allah Ta'ala allows it to benefit. It only benefits if Allah allows it to benefit. The house is only beneficial if Allah says it's beneficial. The sleep is only beneficial if Allah says it's beneficial. If I put you with $1 billion in the middle of the desert, will that $1 billion help you? You'd rather light it on fire because it's a waste of time now. It's a waste. Why would you want to carry $1 billion? So maybe I'll make it out of here. You know, so I got to carry it with me. You know, the idea is that, look, it's only dependent if Allah will give you khayr in it. Sometimes we have millions of dollars, but we can't treat the person in the hospital. This is what happens. In some places, it just cannot help at all. The harm and benefit do not come from things and items and creation. The harm and benefit only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to remember this as Muslims. وَلَقَدْ قَالَ لَهُمْ هَارُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala says that it doesn't benefit them at all. And surely Harun alayhi salam told them, مِنْ قَبْلُ, from before, يَا قَوْمِ, O my people, إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُمْ بِي. He says, you've only been tested with this. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ. And he said, your Lord is the Rahman, the most gracious and most merciful. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي, and obey my command. You, far from telling them, hey guys, worship this idol, you can see how nice of a Nabi. Let's break it down. I just want you to understand who is Harun alayhi salam. What an amazing message he gave. He gave five things here. He gave five things to try to convince Bani Israel to stop doing their shirk. And look how nice he is. If you and I, if a family member of ours were to come and tell us, hey, I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or hey, I went to the church the other day, what do you and I be ready to do? It'd be like World War VII. Like we finished them right now. It'd be worse than the election right now. It'd be so serious. It'd be so serious. They would not be able to stay at home. They'd be immediately out the door. But look at Harun alayhi salam. Seeing his people doing shirk. First thing he says is, Ya Qawmi. Oh my beloved people. My people. We're from the same. When you use the word Qawm, it means that you're all from the same bloodline. You all come from the same father. He says, oh my beloved people. إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُمْ بِهِ. He didn't say, إِنَّكُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. He said, he didn't say, you're all in Jahannam forever and ever. He said, you're only being tested. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, you're being tested by Allah. Your love that you have in your heart for this person is haram love. It cannot be halal. You cannot be saying that you're doing something right now. Fight against it. He says, look, you're being only tested. Second thing he tells him, look, it's just a test by Allah. It's only a test. You can get through it. You can get through it. You can do it. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ, and your Lord. He still says your Lord. The Rabb, your one who takes care of you is Ar-Rahman. He doesn't say Al-Azizul Jabbarul Mutakabbirul. He doesn't start to give the hard names of Allah. He gives the nicest name of Allah, which is Rahman. This is how you deal with people who are committing sins. Right? So he goes and says that your Lord is Rahman. Then he says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. O people, just ittiba'. Do ittiba'a of me. Ittiba' means, tabi'a means to follow. Ittiba' means you have to try to follow. For example, if I see that the path on the street is easy, that's tabi'a, I follow him. If I see he's walking up a mountain, that's ittiba'. I have to do a little bit of work to get up there. So Harun alayhi salam says, oh people, I know it's a little difficult. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, but try your best to follow me. He says, try your absolute best. I know it's difficult, but struggle against yourself. He is connecting with them. A lot of times we don't connect with our children. We don't understand what they're going through. When they go through high school and college, and then you tell them, look, beta, it's haram for you to have a girlfriend, and he sees all of his friends having girlfriends, and everyone else is having a good time, and he's told that once you get your doctor, you get you become a doctor, get your PhD, double PhD, reach 35, perhaps we'll talk about nikah now. You know, like life gets a little miserable. I don't think we give enough credit to our brothers who go through high school and college and stuff. You know, they go through a lot of adabun aleem, you know. Every single day they go in and like, I have to keep my gaze low. Really? They go, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. This kid will come out as a wali of Allah. If he goes through college and he comes out halal, mashallah, he's a wali of Allah. You know, the point I'm just trying to say is that, look, sympathize with them, you know. Sympathize. Understand that they're going through some struggle. And they don't have anywhere else to go. If the parents don't understand, who's going to understand? They have no Muslim in school. They have Jacob, Jake. You know, they have all these like they have like Samantha. You know, and Rebecca. And this kid is thinking about Rebecca all the time now. He's like Rebecca, 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 Rebecca. And your job and my job is to figure out how to make him say Allah, 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 Allah. Right? We have to figure it out. We have to help them. So Harun alayhi salam is doing amazing things. Number one, he says, "My people, my beloved people." You're only being tested. It's only a test from Allah. It's a fitna from Allah. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ, but your Lord is still Rahman. That's number three. And number four, he goes and says, ittiba. Just, I know it's hard, but try your best. And then, you know, the hardest thing is what? وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي, and obey me. He leaves the hardest thing, the thing that they have to do. As Muslims, they have to listen to their Prophet. But he doesn't mention the hardest thing first. He mentions the hardest thing last. Because he knows it'd be too hard. If I said, أَطِيعُوا, obey me, in the beginning, you think anyone's going to listen? No one's going to listen. He softened them up. And then he gave them the killer blow at the end. That's how you work in boxing, right? You soften them up. And then finally you dish out the final move, right? You finish him at the last strike. And so the idea is Harun alayhi salam does the same exact thing. He starts off soft. And then finally he gives them the hukum. That you must obey me. Right? Five things, mashallah. This is why he is the Prophet of Allah. And you and I are just normal people trying our best. He knows how to deliver a message. He tries his best. He tries it with Bani Israel. And what do they? And this is why you should know that when people said that Harun alayhi salam did shirk, waliyatu billah, you have no idea who you're talking about. This is Allah's Habib. Every single Nabi is Allah's beloved. And Allah says, my Nabi Harun, you don't talk about him like that. This is exactly what he said. This is exactly what he said. Allah quoted him word for word in the Quran. So Allah defends all of his prophets from any allegations. And what did Bani Israel respond with? قَالُوا لَن نَبْرَحَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْنَا مُوسَى. It's such badmashi. Like, it's very, very bad. It's very, very bad. They said, لَن نَبْرَحَ, we will never, ever, ever, ever stop. عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ. You know how we do i'tikaf? What is the rule of i'tikaf? Can you leave the masjid? You have to stay in that spot. You cannot move from that area. If you do that, your i'tikaf is broken. They said that we're doing i'tikaf with our idol. We're not leaving from here. We will never leave from here. حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْنَا مُوسَى. Until Musa comes back. Harun, we know you're good. But we need Musa. Okay? And as soon as he comes back, then we'll think about if we should stop worshipping or not. Okay? They are very blunt. This man, Harun alayhi salam, this Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, gave such a beautiful message to them. And they're just like, nope. لَن نَبْرَحَ. Nope, we're not leaving. We're going to stay right here. We're going to do our i'tikaf. Don't bother us. Until what? Until Musa alayhi salam comes back. I want to ask everyone, what will change when Musa alayhi salam returns? Is the idol... like, it's still an idol. It's still shirk. They act like Musa alayhi salam coming back will change anything. They're being stubborn and rude. And very, very... And, but you have to, again, understand where they're coming from. Is that, look, it's just not easy for them to leave. It's not easy for them to leave. Harun alayhi salam in Surah Al-A'raf, he told Musa alayhi salam when he returns, he said that Musa alayhi salam, if I were to tell them to not worship this, they would get violent, they would have killed me. Okay, so sometimes what happens is, this is the reality for every community, because of what we come from, just certain topics are just off limits for a long time. It's very hard to talk about them. And sometimes a speaker will come in and he'll talk about the issue and create a fire in the community, because he doesn't realize what he just said. A lot of times it takes a lot of analysis, a lot of circumspection. You have to be checking a lot to see what is a good topic, what is a bad topic. Because why? Because the community might not be ready for it. Sometimes you introduce a topic too early and no one understands what the heck you're saying. Sometimes you talk about something which is so sensitive, no one even wants to listen to it anymore. These people, Bani Israel, they will get violent. They would have killed Harun alayhi salam, they would have killed their prophet. They killed prophets before, they'll definitely kill prophets after. So Harun alayhi salam was very worried about that. And so these people would have gotten violent if Harun alayhi salam tried to press forward. Why am I mentioning this? Because Harun alayhi salam had the option of fighting back. People are disobeying Allah, doing shirk of Allah, and they're misguiding people. Harun alayhi salam could have said, the ones who are listening to him, alright guys, take up your arms, we're going to fight these ones who are not. He could have done that. He could have stopped the fitna right there. Harun alayhi salam could have fought back. But he saw that there was no other way. He saw that there was no other way. He had to make sure that the community was united. If he were to do this, he would have split Bani Israel into two groups. And he didn't want to split them in two. So rather than that, Harun alayhi salam said, for the greater good, we'll tolerate this, make sabr, we'll go sit and do ibadah, and we'll wait till Musa alayhi salam returns. Because it's better than splitting everyone. This is what happens, unfortunately. A lot of topics, again, when they're brought up in communities, they split the community right in half. The issues are brought up. And I don't want to mention from our community, because I think everyone kind of like thinks about something like, that was it. Right? When they're brought up, it just becomes the thing that splits everything in half. And Harun alayhi salam saw it, that's better that we stay together, stay united. There's nothing else to do, so we just have to wait till Musa alayhi salam comes back. Okay? And Musa alayhi salam did tell Harun alayhi salam, by the way, as a rule, he said, أَصْلِحْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He said, make sure you bring good, and don't follow the path of the corruptors, the people who cause corruption. And Harun alayhi salam said, I want to bring good. If I fight them, it's not good. And I don't want to be a corruptor, I don't want to spill blood, so I'd rather just sit down and wait till Musa alayhi salam returns. Okay? So now Musa alayhi salam comes back. Now Musa alayhi salam again, when he returns, the first thing Bani Israel tells him is that Samiri misguided us. Samiri misguided us. Now when Samiri misguided, if you and I heard about someone who misguided in the community, what would you and I first do? Who's the first person to talk to? The misguided beta, right? Bro, why are you doing this? Why did you do it? We're going to go to the guy who messed up first and then go to him and talk to him. Musa alayhi salam knows Samiri is a criminal. 100% he knows. Without a doubt he knows. But he goes straight to Harun alayhi salam. How much does he go to Harun alayhi salam? He drops he has the alwah, right? He doesn't have, in Islam it's not two tablets. People think like the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments or whatever, just two tablets. It's not two tablets. In the Quran, it's alwah. It's multiple tablets, right? Not the tablet, okay, not the iPhone or iPad or whatever, right? Proper tablets. Maybe they were, I don't know. They have a lot of words on them, you know? Like, they have a lot of stuff, not just Ten Commandments even, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best. In any case, so he had them and he dropped them because of how angry he was. He didn't break them. He didn't break them. People think that he broke them. He didn't break them. They were still fine. But the thing is that he was so upset, he was so shocked at what he saw. And this is the ta'ajjub, right? You and I have such adab for the Qur'an, right? The adab for the Qur'an is that you never let it touch the ground, ever, right? Even you and I, from our community, we see someone put it on the ground, it's like, don't do that. Like, it doesn't look good. Even the Prophet ﷺ, Hadith Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting on a cushion, and the Torah was brought in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And they were going to put the Torah on the ground. And the Prophet ﷺ actually took out his cushion from beneath him. And he left it there. And then they said, no, put it on this. And said, then it was put on top of that. It's Hadith of Abu Dawood. It's a good Hadith. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Amantu bika wa billadhi anzalta." He says, I believe in you and the one who sent you to the Torah. If that's the love the Prophet ﷺ had for the Torah, imagine the Quran then, right? So Musa ﷺ, you have to understand. If Musa ﷺ, he was so shocked he dropped it. It must have been something so heartbreaking for him. If you and I as normal believers cannot even see the Qur'an on the ground, how could he, you know, as a Nabi, how shocked was he that he just completely forgot everything in that moment? Just completely was shocked. So he dropped it and went straight for Harun Aizam's head. And what did he do? One arm on the head, one arm on the beard, pulled him forward. And this is his older brother, mind you. Right, imagine doing that. Like, what is that? You know, so Harun Aizam, why is he going towards Harun Aizam? We would have said go towards the Dal Mudil, go towards the misguided Dalin, you know? But he's like, I go towards the Hadi, to the one guided first, because as Muslims, you gotta deal with your own community. Why are people going to non-Muslims? Our own community has racism. You know, we have a lot of issues. We have a lot of problems we gotta solve. So Musa, this is constant throughout Islam. Deal with your house first. Take care of your people first. Don't worry about other people. Musa says, look, he said, if something's wrong, I left a good guy behind. And so I need to go ask him first what the heck just happened. So he goes straight to Harun Aizam, hand here, hand there, pulling him forward. And he goes and says, "Ya Harun, ma manaka idh ra'aytum dallu." Oh Harun, what stopped you when you saw them getting misguided? Allah tattabi'an, couldn't you follow me? Afa asayta amri, did you disobey my command? Musa Aizam so mad, you know, he's like so upset. He says, Harun, what stopped you? You saw them going astray. And you could have followed me, you know? Either he meant that you listened to my command, or he said, oh Harun, you knew I was up there on the mountain. You could come up and tell me, hey brother, Musa, I know you're talking to Allah, but we got a bad situation down here. We need you back on ground level right now, you know? He could have said something. Musa is like, why didn't you tell me anything? Afa asayta amri, did you disobey me? Did you disobey my command? You know, you could have come up to the mountain. Musa alayhi was going to learn something from Allah. He's going to learn something from Allah. And by extension, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to learn something. Something very important here. About the idea of not letting your community out of your sight for a single moment. And then the second thing is the lesson of making sure that your command is clear. And that people are ready to follow it after you leave. Okay? Yabna umma. Harun alayhi wasallam says, Yabna umma. لا تأخذ بلحيتي ولا برأسي. He says, oh, the son of my mother. He starts off with Yabna Umma, oh, the son of my mother. Okay, usually you say like Ya Ibn Abi, right, the son of my father. Harun Aizam says Yabna Umma, son of my mother. Right? And even when I see it in translation, I'm like, this looks like a curse. Doesn't seem like the right way it's supposed to be written. So Yabna Umma is a beautiful expression in Arabic. Again, the English kind of takes away from it. What is the expression here? It's beautiful words. When you want something, right, you mention things that people like to listen to. So for example, I know this kid loves football, so I'll go and research football, I'll come back and talk about all these different football players and how they're supposed to throw this and pick skin this and whatever, you know, because I need to connect with this guy. Similarly, like people like talking about elections, so might as well learn a little bit so that way you're not out of the loop so you can explain these things, you know, mashallah. You know, Mu'tar Jamil Sahib has a bayan where he was saying, I think it was Amir Khan, right? He was with him and he said that I knew about movies of this certain decade. And so I talked about these movies with him because he didn't know about these things. So that way it just got his heart closer, right? So sometimes you talk about something that people like because that way it'll bring their heart closer. So Harun Aizam is extremely intelligent. I told you, he's eloquent to the max. He's like, I know someone that Musa Aizam cannot get angry at. Who is it? His mother. That same mother that's risked everything for you, Musa. That same mother that sent your sister out to search for you. That same mother who raised you in her home. That same mother who loved you so much, Musa. I'm her son too. It's such a good, amazing, you know, calm down, Musa. I know you got me by the head right now. I know you punched that guy and killed him. I'm not really looking to fight you right now. Yabna Ummah, my beloved, my brother from the same mother, you know, please, relax. La ta'khuz, don't grab my beard and my head. He says, like, please let this go first. You know, deal with the first problem, right? And this is, by the way, if you're wondering why the Hanafi madhab tells you to have a fist-long beard, if Musa Aizam grabs his beard, it has to be how big at least? A fist, right? This is why we kind of stress these points, you know, just keep that in mind. If at least you can say it's a sunnah of the prophets to have that big at least, bare minimum, right? So in any case, this is a side point. And he says, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ. He's like, okay, brother, calm down, let go, all right, let's talk. I feared that you would say, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُوا بَقَوْلِي. I feared that you would have said to me afterwards, if I were to, you know, follow you, you know, and leave the people, or if I were to start fighting them, maybe Musa Aleyhi was thinking, you should have just fought them and stopped them from doing the shirk. Should have done that. And he goes and says, brother, I was worried that if you came back and saw that, you would have said to me that you caused discord, you caused fasad amongst Bani Israel. So much corruption was because of you. وَلَمْ تَرْقُوا بِقَوْلِي. And you didn't listen to what I said. I told you to bring good and not be from the corruptors, and look what you did. He said, Harun Aleyhi said, look, Musa Alayhi Salaam, I followed your words to a T. Exactly what you said, I followed it. Can you say Harun Aizam didn't follow it? Of course he followed it. He listened exactly what Musa Aizam told him to do. The thing is, Musa Aizam is learning something here. That when you say something as a command, exactly what you say will be followed by the people. Whatever you do will be done by the people. Why is this an important lesson to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, anything he does on a regular, becomes wajib for the ummah. Why didn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam use miswak every single prayer? He said, I worry if I use it every single time, the ummah will think it's wajib. Right? Why did the Prophet ﷺ do this? You know, why didn't he pray this one prayer all the time? Because he said, I worry if I do it all the time, then the ummah will think it's wajib, right? Aisha radiallahu anha has a beautiful hadith. And just to give you guys, like, just one part of it. One person asked Aisha radiallahu anha, when did the Prophet ﷺ make witr, right? And then she said, sometimes he made it in the beginning, sometimes he made it at the end. Right? In the beginning and at the end. And then the man said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala Allah fi hadha al-amri sa'atan. He said, all praise be to Allah that Allah that put some room in this matter. That we can pray at this time or that time. Because if the Prophet ﷺ only prayed at that time, then you could only pray it at that time. Now this one too. And the guy asked, when did the Prophet ﷺ take ghusl at night time? Husbands will appreciate this. Right? And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, sometimes he did it in the beginning, sometimes he did it at the end. He said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala Allah fi, you know, all praise be to Allah that the Prophet didn't do it at one time. Because if he did it at one time, you and I will be really stuck and really exhausted and forget it. The deen is too hard. Right? So the idea is that, look, O Prophet of Islam, Allah is telling the Prophet of alayhi salatu wasalam, be careful of praying tahajjud like you used to pray. You know that prayer that we talked about? That prayer the Prophet had to be standing almost leaning on one foot? In the beginning of Surah Taha, if the Prophet did that every single night, the Ummah would have no other option except to make the Hajjud like that. You and I would have to do it because that is the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you see, sometimes the Prophet prayed that long prayer, sometimes he prayed a short prayer, sometimes he prayed that this time, sometimes he prayed that time. That matter is flexible. So Musa is being taught by Allah, Musa, whatever you say, exactly what you said, the people are going to listen to it. Harun Aizam followed the Musa Aizam exactly. You have to be careful with your words. And you have to remember that if the people are not ready for your, they're not properly trained, it doesn't matter how great of a leader you leave behind. Harun Aizam is a prophet, he's the best leader you could find. But the people were not ready for it. The people were not ready for it. So Musa Aizam is being told, and the Prophet is also being told, that one day, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will leave the world. And your ummah has to be ready before you go. That everything needs to be ready, set down for them in stone. So that way they know exactly what to do. And so Prophet is being told about this beautifully from the story of Musa alayhi salam. قَالَمْ فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِي. So Musa alayhi salam lets go of the head of Harun alayhi salam. He lets go and he goes and looks at Samiri. He goes, okay, what's your situation, Ya Samiri? فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِي. What's your situation, Ya Samiri? Okay. And the Samiri, I explained last time, the idea of the word coming from Samira, or Samara Yasmuru in Arabic, which means to have a conversation. This man used to talk a lot at nighttime. He loved spending the night talking. That was his thing. He just would converse and talk and talk and talk. The munafiq of his area, you know. So he found an opportunity and he took it and ran with it. We talked about how being very careful with text messages and different things. Because this Samiri caused a lot of problems just because of that. He's not, when you see the translations of this, you'll see Samaritan. You know, and it's not a Samaritan. Okay? It's a Samirian. Okay? He's from the area of Samaria. Samaria is actually the, if you look at Israel, the area of Israel, that's, you know, or Palestine if you want to take it, right? But prior to that, right, the area itself, what was it called, right? So there's the northern part and the southern part. The northern part is where the area of Samaria is from. Allah is actually highlighting something very interesting. The area of Samaria is not there yet. It's not there yet. But Samiri has the same laqab. Like for example, Pakistan, Pakistani. Bangladesh, Bangladeshi. Samaria, Samiri, right? But the area is not there yet. So it's very interesting, Allah is highlighting something about the area of Samaria. So we have to look at it. What is the area about? So the issue is this, that the area of Samaria used to worship idols. Okay, this is around after when Musa alayhi salam conquered, you know, they go into Jerusalem, etc. Or not Musa alayhi salam conquered, Yusha alayhi salam conquers Jerusalem. When he goes into that area, after the time when they conquer it, there are some really bad kings that come up. And in that area, there's a king called Jeroboam. Jeroboam, in that area, what he does is he starts making people worship idols. What kind of idols do you think he made them worship? Calves. Right? So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Here are your gods, O Israel, who have brought you out of the land of Egypt." He did the same thing Samiri did at the time Musa alayhi salam. This man, hundreds of years later, does the same exact thing. Allah is kind of indicating that, hey, by the way, you want to know where that came from? This man at the time of Musa alayhi salam. Okay? How the heck did he get there? This guy did something straight in the open. So he goes and Musa alayhi salam asked him, said, "What's your situation? What's your deal?" قَالَ بَصُرْتُ بِمَا لَمْ يَبْصُرُوا بِهِ فَقَبَضْتُ قَبَضَةً مِّنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ فَنَبَثْتُهَا وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. He goes and says, "Oh Musa, I saw something that people did not see." Right? What? And he said, "So I picked up a handful from under the footstep of the messenger. فَنَبَثْتُهَا, and I threw that." What happened here? The angel Jibril alayhi salam, at the time when Fir'aun was drowning, the angel Jibril alayhi salam came. When Jibril alayhi salam came, he came riding on a horse. When he came riding on a horse, Samiri saw something that no one else was looking at, because he crossed the ocean with everybody. While everyone was focusing on, wow, this is a great miracle of Musa alayhi salam, this man is focused on the horse. Not a smart guy, you probably see, right? But he's focused on the idea that this horse, wherever it walks, there's grass growing. So he's like, this is a Mubarak horse, you know? Like, so he's like, and so while everyone was worried about getting through the ocean of the Red Sea or whatever, he was like, I need to grab some of this dirt and this grass. This is some good grass, right? I don't know what he used to smoke or whatever, right? But this guy, you know, he tried to grab it. So he grabbed some of it. فَقَبَسْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَسْرِ الرَّسُولِ. He said, I grabbed some of it. فَنَبَسْتُهَا. And so I threw this. So when everyone threw their gold and silver, Samiri found the opportunity. He's like, hey, let me use this stuff right here. This stuff is probably good stuff, you know? And he launched it in there. And then what happened was the calf came alive. Because this is some miraculous grass. Right, it grew out of dead things. The soil was dead, and then grass started to grow. So he thought, maybe if I throw this in gold and silver, it'll come alive. Right. So this messenger was Jibril alayhi salam. He brought his horse, and basically, Samiri's nafs kind of pushed him to do this. He said, "I blame my nafs. I'm so sorry. It just my nafs pushed me to do these things." Okay. For everyone here, he did not throw something haram. Did he throw something haram? Was the grass haram? In reality, the grass was a miracle. It was a miracle of Jibril alayhi salam, wherever the horse used to go, he grabbed it and threw it in there. Right? But it was used in a haram way. Can we all agree on that? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being taught something very important. And we're taught something 1400 years later. Is that the Quran, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love, you know, that Muslims love, it's a miracle, right? Sometimes a person will use something so halal, which is the Quran, something so beautiful, which is the Quran, but use it in a bad way. The munafiqeen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ would use the Quran in the wrong way. And the people, even now today, our teacher Mufti Ramin Sahib used to say that if a person got misguided, he got misguided off the Quran. Because a person will study it without a teacher, without someone to educate them. And because they studied it directly and they just looked at these verses and interpreted it the way they want to look at it, what happened was what? They became misguided. So a lot of times that happens too, right? That when we want to study, we don't want to look for a teacher to teach us. We just want to go and say, you know what? I'm going to read the translation and figure it out myself. You read the translation, you'll see, oh, son of a mother. Great job, you know? It's not going to help you. You need to go to a teacher, because this is what Samiri did. He took a miracle and he abused it. Similarly, people will use the miracle and abuse it. If you want to know something that hits closer to home, You probably see like the most ajeeb type of wedding ceremonies. Music is blasting, everything is playing, right? But then there's always a time for dua. It's hilarious to me. It's so funny, you know. Or like when the Maulana comes in, all the hijabs go on. And I'm not disrespecting, no offense to any sisters who are listening, but I just find it so ajeeb that like it's like this will make it halal. No, like, and this is what happens. Sometimes, you know, our misguidance, we just sprinkle a little bit of deen on it, so it becomes halal now. Right? We did all this music blasting and stuff. The Maulana is literally walking out of the room and the music starts to play. Right? It's like we did all this haram, but this was a little sprinkle of deen on top, this little grass on top, they'll make it all halal. This is what we were learning from these ayat. Beautiful message Allah is giving from the story of Samidi. So the last thing we'll finish with, inshallah. Okay. So a little deeny talk will make it halal. Allah protect us. Okay, so Musa Islam tells him, this is the punishment of Samiri. We'll finish here, inshallah. We'll do the next part next time, inshallah. So Musa Islam says, Samiri, you go. Get out of here. Fadhab, get out. I don't want to see you anymore. You're never coming in this area ever again. Okay? Go away. Okay? فَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ أَن تَقُولَ لَا مِسَاسِ. He says, for your entire life, you will never be able to meet anyone, no one will be able to meet you. This is not a choice. But when people read this in the translation, they think Samiri is supposed to tell people, don't talk to me. That's not the thing here. He was cursed by Allah. He was cursed by Allah. What was the curse? Is that he could not meet anyone. Anyone who came in the proximity of Samiri, any human being that came close to Samiri, what would happen to him is what? That person will start to get a life-threatening fever. So people used to die being near him. So you could not live in a city anymore. They banned him to the forest. He was completely exiled. And why was this the case? So he's not allowed to socialize with any human. Why is that the case? You know. So if you think about what Samiri did, he took something which was dead and he made it alive, right? He took the gold and silver, threw that in there, became alive. So Allah said from now on, anything that's alive will become dead. That's one thing. Second thing is what? That he wanted people to gather around him, right? The reason why he did all this nonsense was what? People can gather around me. So Allah said, no one is gathering around you anymore. And then the idea that he isolated people from Allah, he distanced people from Allah, so Allah said from now on you will be distant from the entire world. It's a very terrible punishment for these types of people. وَإِنَّ لَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَن تُخْلَفَ. And then Musa Islam says, but there is a promise on the Day of Judgment that don't worry, even if you're in a forest, you're not dodging that. Qiyamah is going to happen. And everyone has to go on Qiyamah. No one's going to dodge it, no matter where you and I live, no matter which house we live in, White House, this house, that house, everyone have Qiyamah. Okay? وَانْظُرِ لَا إِلَٰهِكَ الَّذِي ظَلْتَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفًا. And he goes in Samiri. Musa Islam says, Samiri, look at this idol here that you were so devoted to, so in love with, right? He said, لَنُحَرِّقَنَّهُ. We're going to burn it. This is Musa alayhi salam, right? We're going to burn it. We're going to put it to ashes. And then we're going to take the ashes and scatter it all over the ocean. We're going to throw it all over the place. Because why? The same army that was destroyed in the ocean was whom? Was who? Fir'aun's army, right? Fir'aun was the worshipper of these calves and idols and whatever. And so the same way the worshippers died, the idol also dies too in the same exact way. Beautiful way Allah that describes this. Okay, so this is the end of this journey here. The next part transitions to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just one little connection point, just to think about it. And just again, this entire thing is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something, right? So at the end of Musa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's story, in this one, he destroys idols in front of the leaders of the kuffar, which is Samiri. What does the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do at his end of his life? At the conquest of Makkah, he destroys the idols in front of the Qurayshi leaders. Allah literally told Prophet ﷺ, this is what's going to happen in your life too. It's as a prophecy. You know, beautiful things that the Quran describes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah and allow us to appreciate these things. Allow us to try our best. I apologize if I offended anyone. It's never my intention, right? But just for comedy and just keeping the, you know, it's a 45-minute bayan. We've got to keep it a little light, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and guidance. Allow us to appreciate the Quran, connect with the Quran, love the Quran, read the Quran, and pass away on this book, inshallah ta'ala. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.